Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph. Here are Pastor Adam.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Glad to be here.
Definitely glad to be here.
Been a little bit since we recorded again, so
it's been
a couple weeks.
Yeah,
Yeah, we usually go 2 weeks or so, and then we might have a week off in between or something, and we come back to record. So we're back, and it usually takes us a little bit to get back in the groove. So
yes,
today, what are we doing today, Steph?
Well, this is actually episode 225, Reasons You Don't Share the Gospel, and so we've done. Today will be like number 9,
yeah,
and it'll be our last one.
Last one,
yeah. Yep.
And I've saved sort of the best for last. So, what we've done in this series is we took a particular survey that came out that talked through the reasons that people don't share the gospel. You know, what's keeping you from sharing your faith? And it was all kinds of stuff: fear, feeling like you don't have opportunities, feeling like you're not, people aren't interested, or you don't know anybody who doesn't know, you know, that you don't know any non-Christians, mm-hmm. or not feeling like you're equipped, and all kinds of stuff like that that came from a survey. But I wanted to share with you, I think, the primary reason that we don't share the gospel as the last one. And this is not something that came from the series. So this is not something that we would articulate. So if we asked everybody questions and you sat around coming up with, all right, why? What is it that keeps me from sharing my faith? What is it that keeps me from making disciples? What does it keep me from telling people about Christ in my workplace or home or whatever? If you came up with the reasons, those would be sort of the reasons that we already shared. The reason today is not one that we would come up with because we don't think of this way. And I didn't think of it either until I ran across this, and it really awakened me a little bit, like opened my eyes, especially as a pastor, not just as, you know, a Christian, but as somebody who's leading other people, shepherding other people. This really opened my eyes, to why people aren't sharing their faith and sharing the gospel. Because when we share the gospel, what we're doing is we are declaring the good news, right? And the good news is that there is hope, that God does love you, and he has shown that, not just told it, by sending his son to walk the life we couldn't walk, bear the punishment that we deserve, and therefore give us an opportunity to be in full fellowship with God like we were intended to be to begin with. And so that's the good news, the gospel of Jesus. And I've said before that the gospel is not just the birth, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. It's the birth, the death, the resurrection of Jesus as it applies to you personally. So the good news is this understanding that, oh my gosh, God loves me and he's made a way for me to be with him completely and perfectly all the way into eternity. And the question is why don't we share that good news? Why don't we embrace this holy responsibility, this holy assignment that Jesus has given us, right? Because we talked early on in the podcast, and I spent a couple months preaching on this, that the Great Commission is for everybody. It's for every single follower of Christ. And so you are commissioned by Jesus in this holy responsibility, this holy assignment to make disciples. So what keeps us from doing that? And I think that this is a much simpler yet more complex answer to this question than we've been saying so far in the series. And it's also very convicting. So I think you need to prepare yourself to be a little convicted by this. I was very convicted by it when I read this to begin with. There is this book called Contagious by Jonathan Berger. It's actually a sort of a more of a business book in general. What he's writing about is how thinking and social influence spreads. So in other words, like, why do certain things become viral? Why do certain things catch on, right? Why are certain things shared a whole lot versus other things being shared? And so in this book, what he's doing is he takes on this great big study on why some online articles are shared more than others are, right? So I don't know about you, Steph, but I read a lot of articles online.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this book is a little bit older, so it's talking more about articles. But there's lots and lots of articles I read. I read them all the time. Today I read a ton of online articles about random different stuff. And I noticed, like, today, out of all the ones that I read, I didn't share any of them, right? I read a lot of them, but I didn't share any of them. And so what he does in his study is he looks at what's the reason why people share certain articles and certain articles aren't shared. What's the reason that some of those catch on and become sort of viral, or, you know, somebody shares it and then the next person shares it and the next person shares it, right? Very similar to, now we're going to draw the conclusion to the gospel, but very similar to the gospel, right? The good news. Why is it that certain people share certain articles and the other ones aren't? And what he realized through this study is that the articles where people, as they read them, are in awe. They're just blown away by it. And what they heard, what they experienced, what they read, that people are 30 times more likely to share something that draws them to awe than anything else. So in other words, we are much more likely to share something that invokes awe in us, that not just is inspiring, but it makes us go, whoa, that's amazing, right? It sort of blows our minds. We're 30 times more likely to share something that draws awe. The bottom line is that we can't help but spread news that we find amazing. And so if something amazes us, then we feel this need to share it. And so here's what I'm going to tell you is the main reason. Like all those other reasons we went through of why people don't share their faith, they're legitimate. But the main reason, and this is what's convicting to me, the main reason that we don't share Jesus, that we don't share the gospel, that we don't share our faith, the main reason that the majority of people in our churches don't share the gospel, it's not because they haven't been through some course to learn how to share it, and it's not because they failed to participate in some training seminar, or that they didn't have the right apologetics, or that they didn't have the right insight into how to share, or that they didn't know how to write their testimony and then share their testimony. We talked about all those things during a series. The real reason is because they're not in awe anymore, that we're not struck by the amazing good news of Jesus. If we are convinced that the news about Jesus is truly good news, then we can't help but share it. Whatever we find amazing, we share. We spread what we're in awe of. And so when we lose our awe, we then stop sharing. And this is really interesting because if you think about young Christians, people who had just come to faith in Jesus, they tend to share it a lot, because they're blown away by it, right? They're literally in a state of awe of, I can't believe God loves me this much. I can't believe that salvation is free. I can't believe that Jesus would do this for me. Young Christians tend to share this a lot. Another group of people who tend to share this all the time are children. They talk about it constantly because there's this sense of awe. It's inspiring. It's shocking, right? And that's what makes us share it. And so if we're not sharing the gospel and you're somebody who's a seasoned Christian, it's because you are, and this should convict you, it's because you've lost awe about it. It's just become sort of the norm. It's just, yeah, it's the gospel. It's Jesus. Yeah. But we've lost this sense of, oh my God, I was a sinner, right? I was outside of the kingdom of God. I was the lost sheep. I was the lost coin, right? I was the prodigal son or daughter, and Jesus has saved me. He's come through. He's left heaven and come to earth for me, and it just blows our minds. And so we share it. And so if we're not sharing it, the main reason is we've lost awe. It's the number one reason people share stuff is because they're overwhelmed by what they have heard, what they have seen, what they know, and they feel this need to share it. And so when you and I become complacent about what has been done for us through the cross, then we don't share it, right? And so I was convicted of this as a pastor because I was like, oh my gosh, this is not good. Like, I don't want a church full of people who, or I don't want to be this person either, who has just become complacent about the gospel, right? That we're not just fully blown away about it every single day, that God would love us this much, and not just us, but that it's for everybody around us. And if we literally feel like and know that we as human beings have the gift of eternal life, We have the literal get out of hell free card. We have full grace and full love and full mercy and full joy and full peace. I don't want to lead a group of people who've forgotten that, you know? And so how do we remind people, how do we get people to be in awe of this all the time? And so thinking through that, I think it means you just have to kind of return back to be reminded of God's grace. I've said this a lot of times preaching over the years, and this just makes me think about it even more, that the best thing that I can do as a pastor, or if I'm not your pastor, the best thing that your pastor can do, or your small group leader can do, or anybody who has spiritual leadership, right? So if you're a mom or a dad at home, the best thing you can do with your kids is to consistently remind them that God is really good and that we are not, right? It's the best thing I can do is remind you constantly that God is great and you and I are not, that we are at our core glory thieving rats, and yet God loves us and he's good to us. And so if you start to think about his grace towards you, like, we do not deserve to be in relationship with him. Well, we don't deserve to live. And yet we do. And yet he makes the sun shine on us every day, and that his grace is so amazing. So I think the only way to get back to awe, being awestruck by what God has done for us in the gospel and who we are as his children, is to consistently remind ourselves of the grace that we've been given. The only way I know to remind myself of the grace that I've been given is to remember who I am outside of Jesus and how good God is, right? You know, like, me and Steph were struggling so much yesterday evening that we couldn't even record a podcast, right? So, you know what I mean? We couldn't even record. We had to, like, just pack it up. And it was both of us, and it's been multiple times. Like, we're not good people, right?
No.
We're not. Nah. We struggle with everything. We worry about everything, you know, and we take life into our own hands all the time.
Yes.
Right?
It's about true.
And we make ourselves the center of everything constantly. If you start to remind yourself of all those things, and then you can go, but God still loves me? Oh, my gosh, this is amazing, right? It's amazing that he does, and that will make us want to share the gospel more. We're just not in awe of it enough. We walk into every single day, and we are distracted by all the crap of the day, and we forget very easily how much of a gift it is to be alive and how little time we have on this earth before we spend time with the Lord in eternity. And there's this holy responsibility he's given us. And if we are in awe of this all the time, that, man, it will just kind of come out of us. You know what I mean? And it's convicting to me. Right? It's convicting to know that I somehow have made the gospel just an everyday part of the day. And so it's easy to forget, or it's easy to shove to the side. And then makes sense that then we don't share it. Because what we really share is what we're in awe of. And so I think back through the things that you've shared recently. It could be online. It could just be with a person in a conversation. The things, and I think this holds true, because when I think about the things that I've shared recently, it's stuff that I've went, oh, this is amazing, right? A food, a restaurant, a movie, a show, right? An article, a stupid funny video. You know what I mean? Like, it's all stuff that I've went, oh, this is so cool. This is so amazing. And then that makes us share it. And so the more enamored we become with the gospel, the more we're likely to share it. So the reason you're not sharing your faith, the primary reason, yes, all those other reasons are probably true, but I think they're all secondary. The primary reason is we've lost our awestruckness, we've lost the fact that our minds are blown away by who God is, what God has done for us, and the beauty of the cross. We've lost it. And the only way I know to get it back is just to consistently remind yourself of God's grace. And the best way to do that is to go, I am not good, but God is so kind to me. He's so good to me. He's always been kind. And every time I fail to measure up and fail to do what he wants me to do and fail to live the life he wants me to live, his grace is just right there at the end of the day, circling around me. And then he gives, you know, it's like you see in Lamentations. He gives new mercies every single morning, right? And we just get blown away by that, and then we'll want to share it, right? Basically, what we've done is when we don't share the gospel, it's because we've taken the good news and turned it into just news versus it being something that's good news. And it's good news for us, and it's good news for the whole world. And we get to be the ambassadors that share that good news, and we forget about it. We're not going to share it. Like when it becomes just news, we're not going to share it. But when it becomes really good news, when it's something that just draws a sense of awe into us, then we're much more likely to share it. And so as we wrap this series up, this will be a short episode. As we wrap this series up, I would push you to just start to really ponder on God's grace. And if you will spend time just soaking up God's grace, just thinking all the time about how good he is and how bad we are and how much we don't deserve it, then we will return back to this spot of being just blown away by the gospel. Like maybe you were when you first got saved, or maybe you were when you were a child in your faith, or maybe you were in certain seasons. If we return to that, then I think that we will naturally share it because we can't help but share it. Because it's just something so good to us. You know, it's like some awesome food we've had that we have to share, because it's so good we can't keep it to ourselves, right? And the only way that we're going to do that is for us to remember how good it is, how sweet it is, right? And then that will just naturally drive us to want to share it, you know? This is very convicting for me. And as a pastor, man, it really hits me hard. It makes me think about everything I preach all the time. Am I drawing people? Am I reminding people how good God is, how bad we are, and how we should just be blown away by his grace every single day? And that's the key. Like, I can sit around and come up with evangelism courses and training, which I'm working on right now. We're working right now on how to help people be missionaries in their workplace. How to literally do a quick training that shows people how to share the gospel in the context of their individual workplace and then commission them out. I can sit around and work on that stuff. And I'm not saying that those things aren't good. I'm just saying they're pointless if we are not in awe of what God has done for us and who he is in our lives and, you know, who Jesus is for us and what Jesus has accomplished, right? If you look back through the early church, you'll notice that in the beginning of the early church, they're sharing the gospel in Acts, and all of a sudden they get busted for it, and they get hauled in, and they prisoned for it, and all this stuff, and they end up saying, like, we can't not speak about what Jesus has done for us. Like, we can't not speak it. And that's because there's this sense of awe, right? We have to. Why do we have to? Because it's so amazing that we have to share what God's done for us. It's so amazing we have to share that God wants to do the exact same thing for every single person, right? Like, we have to share that. And it makes me think of this childlike faith. It's interesting. So what I've noticed is as my kids are younger, they really like to write on my whiteboards in my office. And you know what I mean? Like, and anytime they get some paper, they write notes and they draw pictures. You know what's funny is almost every single time, and our three kids are very different. Every single time they get their hands on something where they can write when they're young, you know what they write? They write, we love Jesus. They write, Jesus loves you. They write, I mean, just none, all the time, right? And it's like, why do they keep sharing the same? Why does Madeline draw me 66 pictures of, I love you, Daddy, I love Jesus, right? You know, those kind of things. Like, why do they do that all the time? They're enamored by it. They're awestruck, right? They think it's the most awesomest thing in the world, right? And so they draw pictures and they share it all the time.
That's sweet.
And we got to get back to that childlike faith of just being blown away by this. That we have to, therefore, share it. And so if you find yourself not sharing the gospel, check your level of being amazed by who God is and what he's done for you. And if you can you and I can consistently go back to that, like what if we started our day off with, oh my gosh, I'm alive, and he saved me, and he continues to bless me, and he's so good to me. If we start our days off like that, I bet you we'd be much more likely to share the good news all the time, because we are enamored with it. That's the whole point. This is a really good book. It's a more of a business type style book or a cultural reference book to how things spread and share. There's another book called Viral that talks about the same stuff. It's really good, but it really convicted at me because it's like, well, no wonder we don't share the gospel. everybody just, it's just part of our lives, you know, instead of it being our lives, right? It's just part of, and it's funny how it goes, like Christianity ends up being just part of our lives instead of, no, it is life itself. The gospel is life itself. And so every blessing I receive during the day is because of God and the gospel. And we just opens our eyes to that more and more, so we're much more likely to share it.
That's all you got?
Yeah. It's kind of, it kind of hurts my heart a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, out of all the stuff we've done in this series, this one hurts my heart the most, right? Because it's, it just is very revealing.
Yeah, it is.
Know? And when I think about, you know, the last month or two, and I think, all right, what is all the stuff I've shared in the last month? And all of it's around food or a TV show, and not Jesus. It makes me really just want to, I don't know, just want to consistently revisit his grace. And if you'll revisit his grace over and over again, this childlike, awestruck, blown away by how good he is will come back. And, you know, it's like he talks about in Revelation to the church, that we've lost our first love. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And so if we get drawn back to our first love, then everything sort of centers around it, even our conversations with other people. Yeah. And it just makes me, I don't know, makes me a little sad. But also the cool thing is it's an easy fix, right?
You're right.
It doesn't require a class. It doesn't require nothing. It just requires returning to your first love. This has been a convicting series, but this last one is pretty big. I've been holding this one for the whole series, and I've been thinking about it all the time. I read that book a long time ago. It's actually a little older, and this made me go back and read it about a month ago again. And it's just very convicting. As a Christian, it's very convicting, you know, because I spend so much time sharing other junk that is awestruck, but yet forget how the most amazing story that's ever told involves me. And you and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is good news. It's the greatest news, and it should be what we're sharing all the time. So anyway, I hope through this series that you have been convicted and convinced and empowered by the Holy Spirit to actually live out and share your faith. And I hope that this last episode will draw you back to just spend some time praying and thinking on God's grace and how good he is, and how he don't need us to do any of this stuff, but he wants us, and that's what's amazing to me. You know, what I love most about my wife is that she is a strong, independent woman. She don't need me one bit, all right? She don't need me at all.
She is super independent.
Yeah, she is. She don't need me at all, but she wants me, and that's what makes things different.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? And that's like God don't need us. He don't need us to do any of this stuff, but he wants us. And he involves us in the story. He involves us in his story. And his story is unfolding around us all the time, in and through us. We get to be a part of it. And, man, that should just draw something inside of us that makes us want to open our mouths and love people and share and forgive and let go and, you know what I mean, just live out the gospel every day. And so we just need to be reminded of that again, and we just need to go back to it. So I would tell you, as you wrap this series up, maybe you haven't listened to all the episodes, maybe you have, I would just tell you to go back and just spend some time thinking about God's grace and how good he is, and how absolutely mind-blowing the gospel is, especially as we go into Christmas. So a long time ago in the podcast, we talked about this. We did a Christmas like little small series on Christmas, and it was about why Christmas gets on my nerves. Right, personally. The only reason I remember this is because lately Madeline's been into our podcast. My 9-year-old, I told you this a couple episodes ago. Mm-hmm. Like, she's been into the podcast. We've been going back and forth to practices and stuff. She wants to listen to it. And she likes the ones where I share stories. And so I have to kind of jump around and find her one where I'm talking through a story instead of some concept. And anyway, we somehow or another ended up on this series that we did about Christmas. And in the middle of it, I talk about the fact that Christmas is actually the most amazing miracle of all. It's the one that's the most mind-blowing. Right now, like, I'm not trying to diminish Resurrection Sunday. Like, our faith is built on the event of the resurrection, and it's mind blowing that God did that. However, it's much more mind blowing that he comes to earth in the form of a person, right? and vacates heaven to come to us and then comes beneath us. Like, it's mind blowing. And so maybe just at Christmas time, you start to think about that a little more, and that draws back some awe and just, you know, blows your mind about how much God loves you and all the hurdles he went through to come save us. Right. And that maybe draws you back to this too. So this time of the year, maybe think through God's grace and then apply it to him coming in human form to us, is absolutely insane. And mind blowing, and reminds us of how, you know, it just brings back a sense of wonder and awe, that Christmas season usually has. So maybe it's a good time that we're talking about this as we're getting ready to walk into the Christmas season. So maybe a good time to remind us of that. But I feel super convicted. So
yeah,
that's
convicting.
All I got for this series. We're going to wrap this thing up. And next series we're going to do is going to be Lies That Satan Tells You About Scripture. And we're about to kick that one off. We're about to record the first one in just a second. Because that's how we roll.
But you'll hear this in a week.
Yeah, this is how we roll. So anyway, that's all I got. You got anything else, Steph?
No, I'm just listening and absorbing.
Well, that's like everybody else on the podcast.
Yay.
Yay.
I'm like everyone else. And that's good.
That's a good thing. Absolutely. Ooh. Very much so. But that's all we got. We'll be back for Lies Satan Tells You About Scripture. We got a bunch of them. There'll be short little episodes, probably, hopefully, I think. Sometimes I say that and I go on and on, but I think they will be. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure. I know the first one will be. So, anyway, we'll be back soon with those episodes.
Talk to you soon.
See you. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.